Welcome back to Success Made to Last. I'm Rick Tocchini. This show is brought to you by Edward Jones Financial Advisors. When I hear that theme song of The Code, I think of my friend Finbar O'Hanlon, who wrote that. And if you get a chance to listen to his interview, he's a true-to-life polymath, and we appreciate him creating that music for this show. Our very special guest today is I consider a brilliant author, Christy Whitman. She is a transformational leader, celebrity coach, and law of attraction expert. You know, we've interviewed lots of people who are New York Times bestselling authors, and she is one of them with The Art of Having It All. Her next book just came out, The Desire Factor. We're going to be talking about that today and learn the inside track on Christy Whitman. Christy, welcome to Success Made to Last.
Thank you so much for having me, Rick. I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Me too. We always want to know the inside story and the different stuff on all the individuals and characters we have on our show. So tell us about where you're from originally and about your core values that you have in life.
Yeah, so I was born and raised in Scottsdale, Arizona to, you know, upper middle class family. And I, like most people, got programmed, you know, not deliberately, but watched and listened and learned what would make me happy in my life. And so I, you know, went to college, I got a career, got a job, I moved to Chicago to get better opportunities, and was on the track of getting married, I got engaged, and realized that I was truly unhappy. It was for the first time in my life, I really looked around and went, okay, wait a minute, I've literally accomplished everything I set out to accomplish and what I was told was going to make me happy. Why am I more miserable than I've ever been? And so that really made me realize that, is this all there is? Is this what it's about? Is it about accomplishing things? I really started questioning at the age of 25 this, you know, this life and what is it? And that quest, it was maybe even earlier, that quest led me to move to California and led me to start understanding and attracting information on meditation and law of attraction and all the things that are now foundational to me, and that I truly believe that every single one of us has the divine breathing us. We have that power, that and the blueprint that comes along with that power. And one of those things, we're blueprinted to be successful. We're blueprinted for success. We're blueprinted for well-being, for abundance, for love. And when we align ourselves with that, then we can literally feel and experience, have our outer reality reflect the inner experience of success and live our lives that way. So my core values are really about generosity and about living into that, you know, divine design, that blueprint of success and abundance and well-being and, of course, love, loving and supportive relationships in all of our relationships.
Wow, that's fantastic. And not only is it fantastic, you are walking, talking blueprint, and I think it comes through in your books and how you write, and it's real, it's authentic, and I remember doing one show about Blueprint for Success, and it was like, wow, people actually are attracted to the word blueprint. Because maybe, well, you tell me, why do people like the word blueprint?
Well, it's like, you know, if you're going to go build a house, right, you have this blueprint that you have. It's literally a what is going to go where. You don't just go take a hammer and nails and take plywood and start building a house. I mean, you literally design it. And when you think about it from a very divine level, that blueprint is already there. It's kind of like a destiny kind of thing. We say it's blueprinted that we're going to be successful. It lets the human being feel like, wait, okay, I'm designed for success. And then all the other stuff that, you know, comes along on our physical experience, you know, where we're told we're not enough or that we can't make it or that there's only so much success that goes around or there's only so much this, you know, where we're imprinted, conditioned that there's lack and limitation. When we feel the blueprint that it's a bigger part of us, that we're divinely designed, that we become bigger than the condition that we've experienced.
So true. So when in your life have you experienced scarcity to make you the torch carrier for a life of abundance?
Well, that was the thing for me is when I was, you know, 25 years ago when I was starting my conscious spiritual path, because we're always on a spiritual path, I realized that the reason I wasn't happy when I was accomplishing all these things early in my life was because my mindset was focused on not enough. That no matter what I accomplished, it was never going to be enough. No matter how much weight I lost, it was never going to be enough. No matter what my butt size or my bra size, you know, it was never going to be enough, because mm-hmm. that was the thought frame that I had. And when I realized that I got conditioned from my parents, God love them, they're in their 80s, but they're always in a place of it's not enough, they're focused on fear, they're worried about everything. No matter how much money they have and they're set for the rest of their lives, they still worry about money. And when we worry about money, when we are in a place of lack, we never feel good. So this literally led me to this discovering of, well, what's abundance thinking versus lack thinking? And it's amazing how, as human beings, most of us have a belief in lack and scarcity versus abundance. And because we create from our beliefs, it just makes sense to focus on what we want to experience. And since the universe literally has evidence of abundance in even just the cells, I mean, you think of the trillions and trillions of cells, we are abundant. We are made up of abundance. In the universe that we live in, go see a starry, you know, sky, and you'll see that there is an abundance. You can't even count the stars, or even just look at a tree and all the abundance of leaves, or the lawn, you know, the grass on a lawn, or go into an ocean and trying to count the grains of sand. When we look for and see evidence of abundance, we start to believe in abundance, and that literally shifts us. Because for me, lack always feels bad, abundance always feels good, and it's always our free will and choice. That's what one of the things we talk about in the desire factor is the principle of focus. What you focus on will create the results that you get. That's the basis of law of attraction, and we have free will whether we're going to focus on lack and feel bad or whether we focus on abundance and feel good.
When I hear you say that, it makes me think of this book that we reviewed last week about the 12 rules of attention. And what's your take on the fact that we have an increasing number of people with an attention deficit, and you are preaching the gospel of principle of focus?
Yeah, I mean, the reason, in my opinion, is that there's a lot, everything is energy, right? And so when someone
right.
has a lot of repressed energy, when they've got a lot of repressed emotions, and they're trying to focus on something, but their energy is pulling them back on something else, it's hard to concentrate. When we process the emotion, whether it's fear or anxiety or whatever it may be, we tend to be able to be more present and we tend to focus. And so that's why, you know, energy mastery is really the key to, you know, health and well-being, to success, to abundance, to love, because we can be more present in ourselves. We can feel more peace, because as we're focused on our future, you know, all time is simultaneous. This is what quantum physics says, right? Our past, our future, and our present all exist right now. If we're projecting into a future where there's fear and worry, of course we're going to have like ants in our pants and, you know, feel anxiety and not be able to focus. Right? We don't feel good about what's coming. But if feel like, yeah, future's so bright, I got to wear shades, right? Back in the day, if you remember that song, then we feel calm. We feel relaxed. We feel excited in our now.
Very good. All right. So on this energy mastery, for those of our listening audience that have no idea that energy mastery may begin with meditation, how about you giving a commercial to them on why they should even consider meditation as a start for kind of switching up their life?
Well, yeah, I mean, there are so many different studies now that show that meditation helps with so many different things. It helps with focus. It helps with succeeding. It helps with, you know, performance. It helps literally from a physiological perspective. It helps calm ourselves. So it releases stress. It helps us get into alignment with our divine self. So we get into our higher mind, not just connected to the imprinted part of us. I mean, there are so many different, you know, reasons why people meditate, and it gets us connected to our creativity. And, you know, the thing and the reason why is because when we understand that everything is energy. We know this from science now, modern science, quantum physics, that everything is energy, including ourselves. Yes, we are physical, but we're also energy. The very cells in our body have receptor sites on them, and they need to be filled up with energy. So we are energy receivers. We're constantly needing to receive energy in, although most of us receive it from news or from negative media or, you know, the people around us at the grocery store. If they're fearful, worried, we're taking on and feeling their vibes. And then we start to take on that worried vibe of, you know, not feeling good. So when we deliberately bring in through meditation a peace energy, a calm, a success energy, now we are filling up our cells with what we want to experience. That helps us focus, that helps us create, that helps us move momentum in the direction of what we want to go, and that ultimately will create the reality, because everything is created twice, first inside of ourselves and then in the outer reality. And meditation is a fantastic tool to be able to do that and understand how to work with energy.
Thank you. That was our meditation moment with Christy Whitman, author of The Desire Factor. Okay, so let's talk about your great book. Let's start with the artsy side of it. Who did the cover, and what was the what inspired you to make it look like a wave of silly goop coming across the page?
Well, I wanted it to be colorful, and I wanted it to show energy moving. And so that's what I was given some different artwork and some different covers from the publisher. And this was the picture that I liked the most. And then my husband was brilliant. He said, well, the wave of energy, you know, you got to show what people want. And so that's why we put in the words that if you look at the artwork, it has passionate career and opulent lifestyle and, you know, expansive abundance and, you know, supportive relationships and time and money freedom and financial abundance and all that, showing that that's, you know, desires, and it's always moving. It's always evolving. So that's why.
That's good. I liked it. What? how long did it take you to write this book?
You know, it was an evolvement. Normally, all of my books are just downloaded in one sitting, or, you know, within a couple of weeks. Like, for example, The Art of Having It All from start to finish was downloaded to me within 2 weeks. And then it's a matter of, you know, putting the information on an actual you know, manuscript and proposal and dotting the I's and crossing the T's and all that. This one was an evolvement over many years. And it was one of those things that I was just, you know, sitting there one day in meditation, and I received the words, The Desire Factor. And I just went, ooh, oh my gosh, that, you know, from a concept of what I was working on in my own life, I'm like, yeah, that's a desire factor. And I thought, gosh, that would be like a really great title of a book. I love that. And I just, you know, sat with it and kind of had playing with that idea and concept of what's the desire factor in my own head. And then I went on a cruise with my family. I was actually able to gift my parents, my two sons, my husband and I, a Mediterranean cruise. And we went there in 2016. And we were on the cruise ship, having a great time. Part of the stop was Venice, Italy. And we go into Venice, and I was super excited because this was my time to just buy whatever I wanted to buy without any limitations, with any restrictions. Because many years prior to that, my husband, but boyfriend at the time, and my parents and I went on a 2-week trip to Italy, and Venice was one of those places. Now, me being a fashion girl, I love fashion. We got into Venice, and I literally thought I would die and went to heaven because all of the high fashion stores were there: Versace, Valentino, Fendi, Gucci, Chanel. I mean, it went on and on and on. And I was like a hummingbird, like, you know, buzzing from store to store. And my boyfriend, again, my husband now, boyfriend at the time, turned to me and he got in terror and he saw these stores that I liked. And he said, I can't afford you. And I turned to him and I had just started my business. I said, you don't have to afford me. I'm going to afford myself. And someday, as a matter of fact, now's not a good time, but someday we're going to come back to Venice and I'm going to have so much success and so much abundance financially from this business I'm creating and the impact I'm creating in the world, that we're going to come back here and I'm going to be able to buy whatever I want to, just because I'm going to have freedom of choice. So here we are. We're now, many years later, we're in Venice. My husband and I go on the shopping spree, and I found a cute little purse. It wasn't the most expensive thing I found, but I found a cute little purse at Dolce & Gabbana, and we had beautiful lunch. And so we get back on the ship, and I'm unraveling, unpacking this purse, which is a symbol of all the success. Created a multi-million dollar business at this point, you know, six really well-received books, certified over 3,000 life coaches. I mean, I've had a lot of really impact and wonderful success. So I'm looking at this purse as a symbol, and I'm like, wow, this was my desire factor. And the voice in my head said, that's so materialistic. And I was like, who said that? Where did that go? You know, who's on my shoulder? And it was interesting because I was like, where did that come from? How is this bad? This led me on a journey. I'm here generously being able, because of the money and the impact I've made, to provide this trip for my family. Why is this bad? And that's when the book started to download through me, and then it paused. It was like, download, download, download. Okay, now pause it. And I didn't understand the pause, but in 2018, I started full-on channeling a group of beings called the Council of Light, where literally my consciousness goes out, their consciousness comes in, and they speak and they heal and they do so many wonderful things, including writing this book with me. So all of the higher concepts that are what most people now have been saying is literally beyond any other manifestation book that's ever been written is not me. It's them and their wisdom that has come through. Plus, the energy in the book is just incredible.
Oh, I love that. That's really a great inside story. And inside that, you mentioned that little voice on your shoulder. It makes me laugh about the cartoons of the past where there's the devil and the angel speaking on the left and right side. And in all of your career and all of your great books, have you been able to help people listen to those little characters on their shoulders?
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's important for us to understand that we can't negate the devil, right? And we can't just listen to the angel, or we can't negate the angel and just listen to the devil. We are encompassing all of it. And to understand that all of it, that each one of them has a voice. And usually what is considered the devil is the part of us that's imprinted, that is out of alignment with the divine that's breathing us, that loves us totally and conditionally and infinitely, and that wants the best for us. And usually that devil part is out of the blueprint that we talked about, out of the divine design. And when we listen to it, we can learn so much about ourselves and so much about the part of us that feels limited. And when we are aware, it's always, you know, when you talk to anybody in transformation and recovery and any kind of thing, what is the first step? It's awareness, right? That's so to have awareness of what that in that moment, that's so materialistic. I was like, well, that's interesting. Why is materialistic bad? Isn't everything energy? Isn't everything energy, and all energy creates forms? So how could this physical thing, which when you think about it, Dolce & Gabbana had this idea for a purse. It was their creativity that moved through them, that got them to create a wonderful brand and business and be successful. And this is a symbol of their success, and I'm supporting their success. So why is that bad? Why is that considered materialistic? Why is that, when everything here in our physical universe is material?
That's so true. So true. Hey, for the person out there who's never heard of you or read any of your other books, do you think that they need to read some of your other books in order to get the most out of the desire factor?
Not at all, because everything that I've ever taught is on the seven essential laws, and those are all implemented in this book. The desire factor is literally a step-by-step approach to manifesting. And, you know, it's like taking all the different pieces that people have learned about, you know, creating your success and your desires and putting them in the proper order. And so it's not that you have to read Quantum Success or The Art of Having It All to understand the desire factor. So it goes very deep for some people that have already been spent years in transformation and self-development. And it also is basic enough that it helps people understand. But you're going to feel a shift when you read this book. Because, like I said, it's not Christy Whitman that wrote the book. It's the Council of Light that wrote the book through me.
Yeah, well said. And for those individuals that listen to us that are always striving to go from ordinary to extraordinary, when they read The Desire Factor, what do you think is going to be on their billboard as if, when I read it, this is what happened to me?
Well, I've had a lot of people literally say, wow, I now realize the power that I have to create my life. I now realize how supported I am. I've had people say, I get now where the transition from where I am to where I want to be can be a fun journey instead of a stressful one. So, I mean, I've already had so many different people say, you know, this is literally the manual for life. This is a guidebook for life because now I understand how to apply what I know to get what I want.
Yeah. The old saying, how will it play in Peoria? I see and read so many truths in your book and universal truths and timeless truths that I think would apply well in China and India, two of the larger communities of the world. How do you think this will play in Shenzhen?
I think it will universally be received really well because, again, the council wrote it. So
there you go. I love that. Before the show, Christy and I were talking about some of the fun podcasts that she's been on, including John Lee Dumas, who was on our show last week. And John gave us his definition of success. And without biasing yours, what is your definition of success now that you've achieved what you've achieved and continue to grow as this great energy source?
Yeah, so my definition of success is being able to play and co-create with the divine that's breathing us, to be able to receive a desire, to be able to move our energy towards that desire and enjoying every single part of the process, whether it's there's an obstacle that you literally overcome, whether the obstacle is a thought or an emotion, and be able to transcend that thought and emotion to be able to continue to move forward. And it's literally the journey. It's the joy of the journey, and it's the joy in the transition from where you are to where you want to be. The end result, the desire, like I write in the desire factor, the desire, when it manifests, is great. You feel the success. But it's really the success you feel all along the journey. And it's who you become based on the desire, not the end result. Like, now I make the money, now I can be successful. Now I have the house or the car or the partner, now I can be successful or feel success. It's feeling the success all along the way. It's a choice, it's a feeling, it's a vibration, and it's a way of life.
Okay, I like your definition better. you had more joy in your definition, which I want to ask you about your parents, who, like my parents, who are now gone on to their own eternal life. They were children of the Depression, and they lived with fear. And so when someone of an older age reads The Desire Factor, is it possible that they can still learn and adopt this enjoying the journey and finding joy in every step and having to almost reverse engineer the way they were taught and thought when they were growing up?
Yes, if they have the willingness. Because there's some people that just don't have that willingness. If they have the willingness, then absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. And but it's reality is that even in the case of individuals like my older sister, who I think has picked up her own levels of living through the 1930s, even though she didn't. She's the eldest in the family, and she is emblematic of what the people of the generation that actually experienced the Depression. She actually has that same kind of fear, and there's hoarding there, and what if,
yeah.
You know, so I wonder if, you know, if even she can start enjoying the journey and release some of that from the past. I think it's like a 20-pound sack of concrete that she carries.
Yeah, that's what it definitely feels like. Yeah, I mean, if the person has the willingness and if they're really, you know, understanding that they're blueprinted for joy, we're not here to struggle and to feel bad. We're not here to suffer. We're here to thrive and to feel good. That is blueprinted in us. That's the whole point of it. And that's where so many people got this very different perspective, that it's all about hard work, it's all about struggle, it's all about suffering. And, you know, if you get moments of joy, well, then that's great. And that's just not the way that it's supposed to be. And so when we align ourselves, that's the first principle I talk about in the Desire Factor, is the principle of alignment. When we align ourselves, you know, then we're, you know, now we're in a good place.
Yeah, you bet. Okay, let's take a couple more minutes with Christy to ask her some questions on being an author. There is a debate that rages within our network about what time of the day to write and what's your most creative time. And as an energy master that you are, is there a particular time of the day where you can punch out more words?
No, I get the download, and when I get the download, that's when it comes. I mean, I sometimes get right at 3 o'clock in the morning because I get woken up. There, one time I was on a cruise ship, and when I was writing Quantum Success, woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning and had to get up, and there was nowhere to go. My family was all over the room in the cruise ship, and I went into the bathroom and just took a journal and pen and just started writing as it downloaded. So sometimes, you know, for me, it's not convenient. It could be 1 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, and I just go with it. I go when the inspiration comes. So it's never a set time. I don't ever just sit down and, you know, try to write at a particular time. It just comes when it comes. When inspiration comes, I take action on it.
I like that. Okay, this is a Jerry Seinfeld question. Do you feel like that you need to test your material before you publish it, like
oh,
he does
absolutely.
With his stand-up comedy? Okay. Cool.
Absolutely.
How do you,
yeah, I work with clients and I take them through the process. Oh, yeah, I do it for myself, first of all, and then I take clients through it and see the results that they get. And then, you know, I'm not in charge of am I going to write a book about it. It's either comes through and, you know, if it flows, then it flows. But I definitely take the material and I see what it does with clients. And when they get tremendous success with it, then I'm like, it's a go.
Ooh, can we see your rejection material then?
I love it. I've had literary agents that have told me, you know, that since I became New York Times bestselling author two times, I said, no, we can't publish the Desire Factor. We can't pitch the Desire Factor. I had two different literary agents. I talk about that in the Desire Factor. And it was like, wait, this doesn't make any sense. And what I did to overcome that, because, you know, when things are, you're bumping up against a wall, it's like, that's not the direction to go in. And so sometimes the principle of surrender is also in the book. It's important to learn how and when and what to surrender so that you manifest what you want.
That is great. Okay, Christy, we love your work. Just a final comment to you. I think that you have moved way past success. And what's cool about having guests on like you is that maybe we need to start changing the name of the show to Significance instead of Success, because success is grossly overused. I think that you, with the Desire Factor, you have knocked it way out of the park, and this is a legacy piece for you.
I agree, and thank you. I feel that very much, and I, for me, it's just about the. It's like a portal, right? This is not just a book. It's a guide, but it's a portal. It's who someone literally becomes as they read this book, and that's what's important to me is the impact that it makes. So thank you for that.
You bet. For such a time as this, it is such a great book, The Desire Factor. Christy, thank you for being on. We'd love to have you back on again, maybe for an annual get to know Christy Whitman, find out what else you're working on, and maybe we'll get to see some of those reject pages from your publisher too. So it would be all fun to stay in touch with you. Thank you so much for sharing your heart, for sharing your wisdom, and wow, what a difference you're making. Thank you for being on our show today, Christy.
Thank you so much, Rick, for all that you do. Appreciate you.
You bet. That was Christy Whitman, and her book is The Desire Factor. And we just loved it. So make sure and purchase that. Hey, thanks to our sponsor, Edward Jones, for their continuing sponsorship of this program. And you can talk to our personal financial advisor if you'd like to and find out how to set financial goals for yourself. His name is Serban Marasini. You can contact him at Serban.Marasini. At edwardjones.com today. He has helped us in so many ways as a financial advisor and as a friend as we set forth our own goals to the future. I'm Rick Tocchini. Thanks for joining us. As we always say, may you move your life from ordinary to extraordinary. Have a great day.